In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the gospel appointed for today on the church calendar, Jesus refers 7 times to the Father. On the secular calendar, today, of course, is the occasion in which we honor our mothers. But there is really, of course, no conflict between the two. For not only are motherhood and fatherhood inseparably connected with each other, but both are instituted and given by God. And our Lord gave tremendous honor to motherhood by being born of woman. And we heard 1 Timothy 2 even go so far to say that woman is saved through childbearing. For every birth points us to the birth of Christ, our Savior in the flesh. The early church father Cyprian said that you can't have God as your father without having the church as your mother. None of this private faith stuff apart from the community of believers. No such thing as a Christian that willfully doesn't go to church. Martin Luther said, "The Christian church is your mother, who gives birth to you and bears you through the word. And this is done by the Holy Spirit, who bears witness concerning Christ." So, just as every Christian has a father in heaven, every Christian likewise has a spiritual mother, the church. Our Lord Jesus told us that we must be born again. And just as our earthly mothers birthed us amid water and blood and pain and joy, so too are we given new life in the church at the baptismal font, where the cleansing water and blood flows from Christ's side, from the pain of our Lord's suffering and the joy of our Lord's resurrection. Each one of us here has been given this new birth, having a father in heaven and a spiritual mother on earth. And she continues to nurture us all our lives with the words and the body and blood of Jesus and with the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Christ. And we need this ongoing nurture and care week by week throughout our lives because of a truth that Jesus speaks at the end of today's gospel. He says quite bluntly and straightforwardly, "In the world, you will have tribulation." In this life, our Lord Jesus Christ has never promised simply prosperity and wealth, or freedom from illness and pain, or a life untouched by physical and spiritual struggle. Far from it. Of course, you can find plenty of religious hustlers out there that will try to sell you that nonsense. But again, what does our Lord tell us? He speaks plainly and without figures of speech, saying, "In the world, you will have tribulation." And the Greek word here for tribulation literally means pressure or even constriction, like a snake trying to squeeze its prey. And even though most of us today are not being threatened with death because we are Christians, because of our faith, we still do face real pressure to compromise our faith in order to avoid financial or social consequences. Respectable and supposedly smart people, you know, mock Christianity and scoff at God's word. And then we also experience time pressure. The cares and worries of this life that choke out our time and energy to pray, to attend divine service, to teach our children the catechism, to study God's word, to volunteer to serve the body of Christ. And of course, we also always have the pressure of our own sinful flesh, our own greed and laziness that we indulge all too quickly by ignoring the Lord's attempts to draw us closer to himself. Now, instead of tickling our ears with a prosperity gospel, the Lord himself soberly warns us that we will have tribulations and troubles, pressures in this world. Back in the early 400s AD, as the unthinkable was happening and the Roman Empire was slowly collapsing, St. Augustine wrote a book called The City of God. And in it, Augustine compares the world, the city of man, with the church, the city of God. And the world, he noted, runs by pressure and force and coercion. And just like the city of Rome eventually was overrun by barbarians, this fallen universe itself is running down and will one day perish. But by contrast, the city of God is everlasting. The church is eternal, for it operates based on God's mercy and grace. As our Lord says, the Father himself loves you. And the thing is, right now, you experience the fact that you are living in both worlds at the same time, both cities. Really, the situation for us today is not all that different than it was in Augustine's day. We see American power and influence winding down at breathtaking speed as our culture and institutions collapse. In Augustine's day, the people were stunned that their country was falling. They wondered how God could let such a thing happen. They were frightened for themselves and for their children. But Augustine simply did what he was called to do, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to forgive sins, to pray for their leaders, and especially to pray for the coming of the Lord. And he exhorted the people in the midst of all of that to store up treasures in heaven and not to put their trust in princes or rulers or fading earthly powers. For the one and only thing that can bring us comfort in time of tribulation is the fact that we know how the story ends. We know that sin and Satan and the world do not win the day. We know that the city of God eventually overtakes the city of man. For our Lord himself said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And the Greek word that is used there is one that we associate with a shoe brand, Nike, and it means to conquer. So what Jesus is saying here literally is he has Nike'd, he has overcome, he has conquered the world. So take to heart what Jesus says. All those things that trouble you now, be it your health, your losses, your brokenness, your sinful flesh, those tribulations Jesus took into his own flesh and bones, and he crucified them at Golgotha. Jesus, we know, knew tribulation of the worst sort, being under such pressure in the Garden of Gethsemane that he sweat blood as he prayed, even before his blood was shed. Jesus said in the days before his death, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And the Father's name was indeed glorified as Jesus was lifted up from the earth on the cross, like the bronze serpent in the wilderness. It is the glory of Christ to bear your troubles and your sorrows in order to set you free. And truly, Jesus did overcome the world by taking away the sin of the world. He conquered death by swallowing it up in his own death and then rising on the third day in glory. And all of this, remember this and don't take this for granted, all of this he did for you so that your tribulations will only be temporary, so that they will not overwhelm you who believe. Jesus' victory has been given to you, the baptized. As it is written in Romans 8, we, not just Jesus, but we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And 1 John 4 says, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith in Christ the conqueror." So that's how we can be of good cheer, even when we are in the midst of tribulation. As it is written, "If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" In Jesus, we have the sure hope of the resurrection of the body and all the gifts of the world to come. And already right now, we have the comfort and the assurance that all things, everything in your life is in the hands of the Lord, who is full of loving kindness and goodness. Again, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, that calm assurance in your hearts that all things are made right in Christ." And also don't forget this fact. Even tribulation itself can be God's own instrument to work for your good. For by tribulations and troubles he humbles you, and he brings you to repentance, just as he did with the children of Israel, who were turned from their sinful grumbling to cry out to him for help. Our Lord often lays you low in order that he might lift you up and exalt you in due time. And if you think about your own experience in life, prayer often happens best when we are bowed down and laid low before the Lord. So again, as Christians, let us learn to live with and even to expect tribulation. Don't be surprised at it, but rather let it drive you to pray all the more fervently. For Jesus is that one and only mediator between God and men who gave his life as a ransom for you. And you are given this wonderful privilege. He invites you to pray in his name, using his credentials as beloved children of the Heavenly Father. Ask and you will receive, Jesus says, that your joy may be full. Call upon the Lord in your troubles. Trust in him and cling to him in times of trial, for he will deliver you. The Lord doesn't promise that you will necessarily be rich in this world, but he does guarantee that you are spiritually wealthy beyond measure. The Lord doesn't promise you that if you have enough faith, you will never struggle, but he does guarantee that you will overcome all of these things by his power and grace, his might and mercy. And the Lord doesn't promise that you will not suffer due to the burdens of your own fallen nature, but he does guarantee that the sin that lurks within you has been atoned for and will be removed from you in the fullness of time. So, brothers and sisters of Christ, it may be easy to get discouraged or feel defeated at times. It is easy to turn away from the faith when life in this world gets hard. But Jesus has come to bring you to the Father and to give you that status of beloved children. He has come to bring you to your mother, the church, where you are fed and nurtured and given all that you need to grow. And Christ our Lord invites you again today to share in his victory when he says, "Take heart, be of good cheer, have confidence, have courage, for I have won the victory. I have overcome the devil and the world, and in me you too have overcome and conquered, and you have been given the greatest victory of all. Be at peace." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.